Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's hour two on a Friday. All sorts of superstar quarterback drama live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Joy Taylor's joining me. Joy just informed me that Twitter now, people that have Twitter accounts may soon be able to charge to read our tweets. Interesting. I pay for a lot of stuff. I pay for New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg. I pay for a lot of newspapers. The Athletic. Why can't I charge you a nickel to read my amazing tweets?
Well, I mean, I think you get a lot of content for your dollar when you're paying for a whole newspaper.
No, I do a lot of tweeting.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm on that level to be charging for tweets.
You know what Twitter should offer? I can just charge certain people for tweets. Like, if you're a loser troll, I'm like, $100 to read
like
my tweet.
It's free for you, but you have
yeah,
to
Yeah, I just, 90% of people free, I'll find the trolls, are like $200 per tweet.
That's not a terrible idea. I feel like it would take a lot of time to kind of source.
I'm like Elon
maybe
Musk.
Maybe you could do like you're like Elon Musk?
I think I'm like Elon Musk. I'm second in the country to brilliant ideas. He's first. And then I think I'm right behind him.
You know, I was kind of joking with you, but I don't disagree. Like, I really feel over the past year I told you this. I am much closer to Albert Einstein than the average person. We learned there are quite a few people out there who do not like facts and information.
Yeah, no. 70 million Americans thought COVID was a hoax and there was widespread voter fraud.
Yeah.
So I know I'm smarter than those 70 million.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a significant number of people.
Yeah.
That's just in the United States.
So you're Einstein and I'm Elon Musk.
Who has been more influential? That's a good debate.
Yeah, it is. Oh, by the way, so the whole Russell Wilson named four teams yesterday. So in order for it to work, Russell has a no trade clause. Here's the four teams that would be best for him to go to. So he named the four. I'll put them in order of what I think the best fit is for him. So number one, he mentioned the Saints. That's the best place to go. GM, head coach, roster A. Super Bowl team immediately. Number two is Dallas. They got great weapons. He's going to walk into nothing but wide receivers, star running back. Number three, Bears. They have a championship defense. Number four, Raiders. You're in a division with Patrick Mahomes. And to be honest with you, a lot of questions with the Raiders right now. Now, what's best for Seattle? Okay, best for Seattle is you trade with the Raiders because you could potentially get Derek Carr back and you'd get Russell Wilson out of the NFC and over to the AFC. Second best would be Dallas. Dallas has the highest pick of the four teams. So back in return, you could get the number 10 pick in like the first round and the second round, and you get a bunch of picks. Number three is the Bears. It's probably the third best for Seattle because they are desperate. You have a coach and a GM on the hot seat. So Chicago's going to overpay for it. You got a desperate football team. And number four, where Seattle doesn't want him going, is the Saints because it's in the NFC and you're never getting to another Super Bowl past Russell. And by the way, he'd beat Sean Payton and Russell Wilson together. It would be like lightning, and Pete Carroll would look really bad. You'd be reminded like 14 times a year what a bad decision that was. So for Russell, the Saints is the best. For Seattle, Saints is the worst. So I would eliminate that one. Seattle just not even going to – I don't think they want to do that one at all. The one that's second for both is Dallas. It's not terrible for the Seahawks. You could get Dak if you wanted. You get a very good draft pick, and Jerry Jones is a deal maker. And by the way, it's not like Dallas doesn't have – they give you one of their receivers. If you gave me CeeDee Lamb, I get the number 10 pick, CeeDee Lamb, three other firsts. CeeDee Lamb was pretty good. So Chris Sims, NFL analyst, played 8 years in the NFL. He could charge you for his tweets. They're very, very interesting. And he is now joining us live. He was 26-6 at Texas, by the way. You won a lot of games at Texas. A lot. Who did you lose to? Let me guess. Oklahoma.
Yeah, well, that's all. I mean, to me, that's the only one I can remember for the most part. Because, of course, that's our big rival. And you can't beat Oklahoma. It's like you lost four games in one right there. So that was torture. I still think about the damn Boomer Sooners.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Russell Wilson thing. He named four teams. Now, I think he's a great fit in New Orleans, but Seattle wouldn't like that. Is there one of the four that you look at and you consider cap and draft picks that you do think, Chris, is a little more realistic for that deal if he did leave?
Well, I think the one I will look at, and you said you had a lot of good thoughts there, Colin. I agree with a lot of what you just said with in all aspects of that. The Raiders one is interesting to me because of like what you said. There is Derek Carr there. You know, my big thing right off the bat would be, you know, it'd be I do think Seattle's sick of Russell Wilson, and obviously Russell Wilson's sick of Seattle. I know some things about the situation. Russell wants to be on a team that is going to go all in on him. And, of course, we know up in Seattle with Pete Carroll, it's going to be about defense and balance and all of those type of things. But he's sitting there watching, you know, guys like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes where the team's being based around them, and he's going, wait, I can play that style of football too. The Raiders, with some of that young talent they have at the receiver position, are very good offensive line. I mean, you mentioned all the negatives about it. You do got to go to the AFC West and deal with Mahomes and all that. But still, Gruden is one of the better offensive minds in football. And the other one that just – why it makes sense is – and where I don't know if it's going to happen this year is because Seattle, I think, needs Russell Wilson more than he needs them at this point.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing if we were a few years ago and they still had that run game and an awesome Legion of Boom defense. Then I think they'd make this move. But right now, he is kind of the team. And at Pete Carroll's age, does he really want to abandon ship and try to figure out a new formula of how to win games with a new quarterback? And that would be my big question about the whole situation.
So Joy and I have talked about this, Chris, that if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm done. I want out. And if he took a year off, so go back to your career. If you'd have taken a year off in the NFL, how much do you lose? Do you lose your fastball? You tell me what a year off would mean for a quarterback.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, a year off, I don't care who you are, you're going to come back and, you know, have to wipe off some of the cobwebs and everything like that. One of my big things about quarterback, and what I'll always say, and this is why I always favor when you draft a quarterback in the first round, start playing them. You can't emulate playing quarterback in the NFL in practice. You can't. Not until you get out there in a game and now you got guys that are 285 pounds trying to rip your head off and do all of that. You can't do that in practice. So playing the game is paramount into being successful. Now, I'm not as talented as Deshaun Watson. We know that. Deshaun Watson is probably a guy that, you know, it's like riding a bike. He could get right back into flow, you know, a few weeks. But what you said there, I mean, I've been saying this for a few weeks on Pro Football Talk. I know, and I had said this prior to the reports we saw yesterday, Deshaun Watson, he's willing to sit out the year. I know from some people in his camp and around him that he is willing to do that. He does not want to be there, and I understand that. I don't think there's a lot of guys that want to be on that Houston team right now. It's dysfunctional, and he has the support of his team behind him. I'm interested to see where it goes. They're not answering calls right now. There's no doubt. But, wow, I mean, again, I do think Miami, and I do think the Carolina Panthers – when the Texans start to answer phone calls, are going to be major players in this conversation. And those two teams, too, I would go, why would Russell Wilson not want to go there? Those teams are really close. Carolina is the one where I look at when you go DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, you know, maybe they can re-sign Curtis Samuel. They can have an offense that could be really special here in the next coming years. And they've done a good job rebuilding their team. So we'll see where this goes with Watson, but I certainly don't see him ever playing for the Houston Texans again.
Yeah, same here. You know, yesterday as I was driving around, because the story broke about Russell Wilson late in our show, and they named the four teams. And then as I got in my car and driving around, sports radio guys, they were all saying the same thing. Well, that's a terrible thing to do to Derek Carr and Dak. That's terrible. And I thought to myself, listen, Dak has been maybe overplayed his hand a little bit. I thought Dak had leverage until yesterday about noon. And then when this story came out, I thought, I'm not sure Dak's got any leverage at all. Your thoughts about this morning, what Dak and his camp may be thinking, because Russell's actually cheaper than Dak because you don't have to pay that signing bonus money every year, Chris.
No, I know. Yes, I agree with you that he might have overplayed his hand a little bit. Dak Prescott, for me, when healthy, there is no question he's a top 10 quarterback in football, let alone he brings a lot of intangibles to the team as far as he is a great leader. He's selfless that way. He's awesome in the locker room. Guys rally behind him. There is value in that. But he's not Russell Wilson on the football field. I'm not going to say that. And I think, you know, with that injury being pretty serious, movement is a part of his game, as you're seeing here on the highlights and him running and all that. You know, I would be scared if I'm Dallas just to throw out huge money, long-term contract right away, right now, without kind of, you know, getting to see a little bit farther down the road to where we are health-wise. And is he going to really be able to perform and carry our team early on in the season and all that? Going to be interesting. I still would bet that he is there with Dallas when all said and done. But, you know, I do think maybe him and his camp, and I got a lot of respect, are being a little too aggressive with the amount of money they're asking and things like that. You know, I look at Patrick Mahomes and what he did with his contract. It's very team friendly. He took the route of, hey, I'm good. I'm going to be good for a while. And I want to have a supporting cast and go down as one of the greatest of all time. And, you know, Dak Prescott here at this point is certainly not in that class of a quarterback. Certainly seems to want a lot of money and a lot of that salary cap allocated to him.
You're a former Patriot coaching assistant back in 2012, so you know the organization. So five teams are going to get a quarterback in the draft. New England drafts 15th. They'd have to move up probably to get one. The market now, Wentz is off the market. Stafford's off the market. They probably don't have the pieces to get Deshaun Watson. Garoppolo, according to the Niners, they're not moving him at least for a year. And I said this yesterday, it's kind of becoming worst case scenario for New England. There's about nine teams that need a quarterback, eight after them, and it's a bunch of rookies they won't get and a bunch of kind of Sam Darnolds where you don't know. Your gut feeling on who starts for them at quarterback the week after Labor Day?
If you made me bet money right now, I'm going to say it's Cam Newton.
Yeah.
I don't think that's dead yet there in New England. You know, again, Cam Newton, I know it wasn't great last year, but man, were there a lot of obstacles. Trying to learn that offense, which I would tell you is the most complicated offense in football, without an offseason, without a training camp. And then, of course, the COVID-19 that he had to deal with, and that really set him back. And, you know, for all those struggles, they were still a 7-9 football team.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't that far off with all the, you know, the COVID opt-outs they had and everything like that. So, you know, you said it. They're kind of in no man's land in the draft. And just, Colin, I am not real deep into my draft process. I'll come on in a few weeks from now and really get it into the quarterback nitty-gritty stuff with you. But, you know, I look at it right now. Lawrence, Wilson, Mac Jones, Justin Fields. I would think all of them are going in the top 10.
Yeah.
And I don't think Trey Lance, who I look at as a little bit more of a project, I don't think he's NFL ready right now. I don't think that's New England's type of guy at pick 15. I don't imagine that happening. So I think we're going to see Cam Newton back there. But you brought up another thing that I think is very interesting. The Sam Darnold aspect and what the Jets do, that is going to determine some things too. And I think there are some teams out there waiting to see what the Jets do to see, okay, maybe we can get Sam Darnold to be our starting quarterback as well. I'm not giving up on Sam Darnold. I'm not saying he's a superstar, but I think he's a good, solid NFL starting quarterback.
You know, Chris, I said this last week. I said, you know, it's interesting. If you move off Sam Darnold and you go with Zach Wilson, you're asking a Mountain West quarterback to come in and think about this. Face Belichick twice a year, Sean McDermott's defense twice a year, and Brian Flores. Those are three potential. First of all, one's the best defensive coach ever. McDermott's great, and Flores is a rock star. So you're asking a Mountain West quarterback who struggled against the better teams he played in college. I can make a very compelling argument. I keep Darnold. I get more picks for that number two spot. I mean, I could move down to Carolina at six and still get that tight end Kyle Pitts. I honestly think the Jets are struggling with this. I really do.
I do too. I mean, you brought up all the right points, certainly. All right. And I'll say this about Zach Wilson. From the little I've seen so far, though, he's the real deal. The gap between him and Trevor Lawrence is not as great as I thought going into this process. It's really not. I've been very impressed with what I see. And I do think he's NFL ready. I know it's Mountain West and everything you say like that, but hey, I'm a little biased that way. I saw a guy named Phil Sims come out of Morehead State and do okay, or Josh Allen, you know, up there in Wyoming and be okay. But I think he's actually more polished than a Josh Allen and ready to go. But to your point, here's the other aspect I'd bring up about that. You know, to me, you got to be careful about letting the fans run the organization and tell you who's playing quarterback. Because I bet you if the Miami Dolphins could go back in time, they'd go, you know what, maybe we should have kept Ryan Tannehill and not listen to the fan base and some other stupid people saying things about him behind the organization. And maybe we wouldn't be stuck here trading for Deshaun Watson or maybe drafting another quarterback because Tua wasn't all that impressive either. And I'm with you. I think they're going to be evaluating this, and it's not going to be an easy decision.
By the way, we've got Texas Sooner video 19 years ago. Famous play. Remember Roy Williams flew in and sacked
you? Oh, thanks. Thanks for bringing that up. You're such a nice guy. Yeah, I really appreciate that. Thanks a lot. You know, here's the great story about this play right here. And this is a heartbreaker. I mean, we got the ball. There's about 2 minutes left. We're down by 4 points. And I got nice coverage out there against our Roy Williams, who's arguably the best receiver in college football at the time. And I'm going, whoa, if I get him the ball here quick, he's one-on-one, and he may make this guy miss, and who knows what happens. But earlier in the game, they brought the same blitz, and Roy Williams, jumped over the pile. I made him miss and ran up the middle for about 30 yards. They told him on the sidelines, don't do that again. Don't jump. And, of course, he didn't listen, and it worked out. So those damn Sooners. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the good memories.
You bet. That's what we do here, Chris. We just do good memories. Trey, yeah, I actually remember that play.
That was cold-blooded.
That was, wasn't it? Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk. Thank you, sir. Really appreciate it. Of course, son of Phil Sims, nice guy, is a broadcaster forever on CBS. We got a lot of stuff here. Brady giving Tampa another gift. Another gift from Tom Brady.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Royal Rumble winner Edge has made his choice and is now officially on the road to WrestleMania with the Universal Champion Roman Reigns. It's an all-new Friday Night SmackDown, live at 8 Eastern on Fox.
And the young lady is?
Sasha Banks.
Sasha Banks. And she's a star.
She is a star, yes. Yeah. She's very good.
Charlotte Flair is a star.
Yep.
Sasha Banks is a star. Roman Reigns is a star.
Lots of stars in WWE.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty good stuff. Tom Brady's going to give Tampa another gift, but first, Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news!
This is the Herdline News.
Deshaun Watson continues to make it clear he does not want to stay with the Texans, even after meeting with their new head coach, David Culley, last week. But he is not changing anyone's mind in the organization, apparently. The teams have reportedly called to make trade offers for Deshaun, but Houston will not talk to them. And that has forced teams to leave their offers over voicemail instead.
That's just pathetic. That's so... Houston's pathetic.
It's so crazy to me. I don't know. I just think it's insane. It is insane that in 2021, with the access to information, with the access to experiences, with the knowledge of how these things always end up, that you would do business this way.
By the way, the Texans are validating all of Deshaun Watson's concerns.
Yes.
They will not take live calls. It's like, you know what it makes me think? Oh, I mean, like, I don't like players to hold out, but it's like, oh, it's nonsense. These are juvenile people running the organization.
And it's insane.
It's a cult.
It's crazy. There's no other word to describe it. It is absolute. It's completely and utterly dysfunctional. This is not how you do business.
Can you imagine that?
No. What business does operate this way? Like, I can't imagine any team in any league, any organization, any business whatsoever. Like, even if you were... In our business, like, if we don't make trades, but like if some other network was like, we want to move Colin's show to our network, and we're willing to pay you $100 million. We will give your network $100 million to do it. And the network's like, yeah, we're gonna leave that one on voicemail. That's not we don't do trades.
Even if you got divorced, how petty would you be in juvenile if you wouldn't take a live call from the person if you had like questions about your kids or something?
Well, I think that happens quite a bit, but
that just shows you how juvenile people are.
I mean, it's just I don't know. It's insane to me, but you're right. They're absolutely validating the reason why Deshaun Watson wants out and the reason why he has the full support of everyone in the business, because this is madness. Tariq Cohen, you like his tweets, by the way. You would pay for Tariq Cohen's tweets, I think.
Tariq Cohen's funny.
He also tweeted at Deshaun Watson, pull up, gang. I don't think nobody got number four. So he's recruiting Deshaun as well. The Texans also release running back Duke Johnson. So I don't know what the Texans are doing.
What was the other Tariq Cohen tweet I like?
He tweeted to Russell Wilson.
You go, you call, bro?
And said, you called, bro. Yeah. So he's ready. He's ready.
That's funny.
So the Colts are bringing in Carson Wentz to be their starter next season because the trade isn't official until the start of the new league year. Frank Wright can't talk about his new quarterback just yet, but he did emphasize how important it is to have the right quarterback in for his team's success.
We do believe like we have the right roster, we have the right culture, and you know, getting good quarterback play is something that is necessary to win a world championship. And obviously here in this organization, the standard has been set. We need to continue to have that kind of play and even continue to improve upon that kind of play for us to win a world championship.
I am so excited to see what the Colts do this year.
Well, they were 11-4.
11-5 last season.
I mean, that's pretty amazing with Phillip Rivers. With no preseason, Phillip had to come in, learn the playbook.
I think it's incredible. I thought Phillip Rivers should have retired.
So did I.
He came in and had a really nice year with them.
So, yeah.
He had 68% completion percentage, 4,169 yards, 24 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. And he had 309 yards and 2 touchdowns in the playoff loss to the Bills, which I thought was a really good game.
Oh, I thought they moved the ball up and down the field on the Bills.
I'm really interested to see how Carson Wentz does in new environment.
It's just, you know, it's great. Stafford, Rams, Wentz, Indy. They're two good teams, and then you get juice. So, they're brand new stories. I mean, nothing against Goff, McVay, but I'd seen it.
Right.
Now I get a whole new storyline.
I do think, personally for me, I want to see what Wentz does, because now there are no more excuses. The Colts are a very functional organization.
Great O-line.
Great O-line, weapons, defense.
If he
the
stinks,
coach that you wanted, the coach that you had sex with before, it's definitely a situation that I'm going to pay attention to.
Yeah,
because
I mean,
he's the way he left Philadelphia, and I do think a lot of it was on the front office in Philadelphia. You got to perform now. You have everything that you need.
No more excuses.
Nobody could ask for anything more than what you got.
It's like Kyrie Irving. Okay, you can blame Brad Stevens, and LeBron the limitation. If you can't work with Durant and Harden, Kyrie, you got to make that work, because that is a perfect. So it's like everybody, and I've been critical of Kyrie, but if you can't work with Harden and because it, okay, then if Wentz can't work with this O-line and this running back and this culture, then he's just done. He's out. He's a bad player.
And I think that he will. I think they will have success there, but I just want to see it. So Alex Smith made an incredible comeback with Washington last season, but his future with the team is uncertain. They've already signed Taylor Heinicke to a 2-year deal.
Oh, come on.
And he is hoping that they don't lose Smith as a mentor going forward. Heinicke said he means a lot to the team. He brings a lot to the table. Hopefully we can bring him back. I know a lot of the guys love him, and he's good for the locker room and can still play.
I was told they offered Alex Smith the GM job 2 years ago or a year ago. Dan Snyder did. I'm not joking.
I was obviously very nervous to see what he was going to do, and I know that you were very nervous, but I think it's great that he came back and was able to have the success he did after all of those
Is it legal to do
surgeries?
This? Is it I'm going to ask a question. What are you laughing at?
You always ask me if stuff is legal. What?
Okay. Didn't you go to law school?
No, I did not go to law school. I'm just really great at debating.
Okay. Is it legal to have Alex Smith be a coach, but he could play? Like, could you put him on somewhere in the roster?
Oh, be like a coach.
So he's
player?
A coach. And if somebody got hurt, you just grab a helmet.
Player coach.
Could, you know, in NBA, I grew up with player coaches. Is there a way to not skirt the rules, but like he's a coach.
Like so they don't lose a roster spot?
So he can be on the scout team, but also a coach. So he's on the sideline coaching, but he's basically, so he doesn't count against the day roster,
right.
The game day roster.
He just doesn't take up a roster spot, but he can go in.
I don't know.
I
didn't formulate this in my head very good.
I don't think it's legal.
Could somebody, one of you general managers who watches this show, I'll do it anonymously. What's the closest you could get that you could pay him as a coach, but he could also be on like a low salary on the scout team, meaning you could bring him, if somebody got hurt, you could bring him in very quickly.
I mean, Alex Smith had a nice season last year. I think you could probably just have him on the roster.
Well, you know, Washington needs extra, because if you draft a quarterback and you have Taylor Heineke. So you can't carry a third. So what's the rule on that? So legal people and professional
NFL legal people, let us know.
What is the rule on that? Because that's what I'd love. I'd love him to be a coach, but I'm paying him for a scout team or something. So let somebody gets hurt, come on next week and come.
You don't think he could make another roster?
I just think Alex is going to be a fine broadcaster and a great executive. He should stay in Washington and mentor the next great quarterback there. That's how I view it.
I think he probably still wants to play.
All right. Yeah, I think you're right there. Lawyer Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
So, here's a story. Brady is going to give the Tampa Bay Buccaneers another gift. According to a story I'm reading this morning, Brady, who, by the way, in the year he was the MVP in 2017, made $1 million a year in salary. So he's always tweaked his salary. He is willing to sign an under-the-market deal again, redo his deal, and do it again under the market. And it's interesting. In the last 18 years in the NFL, think about this. If you make more than Tom Brady in the last 18 years, you cannot win a Super Bowl unless your last name is Manning. Last 18 years, Eli twice, Peyton once. If you make more than Tom Brady does, you can't win a Super Bowl unless your last name is Manning. So one of the advantages to being rich is that you can make decisions based on stuff beyond money, quality of life, teammates I want to play with. But it's interesting because Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson are in the stage where they want to make every dollar they can. And it's interesting. 2 years ago, I could be wrong on this. 2 years ago, Green Bay wanted Robbie Anderson. The Jets had Robbie Anderson, and Carolina got him, and Green Bay couldn't. Can you imagine Devontae Adams and Robbie Anderson? They couldn't get him because they couldn't afford him. And Green Bay would have J.J. Watt today, if Aaron took a pay cut. And you think to yourself, well, why should he take a pay cut? Well, because he probably paid $700,000 for his house. I mean, again, I always say this. If you play in Miami or Seattle, you're paying no state tax. So you do have to consider the advantage. Could you give up a little bit of salary to get a star receiver or a star left tackle if you're a player? But, you know, everybody talks about commitment. Everybody says I'm all in. Brady's really the only athlete that is all in. Like everything. $2 million on his body, won't drink a beer during the season, and I'm going to give up massive money to win. And I've said this with LeBron. LeBron does the commitment to his body, commitment to excellence during the season. He drinks a little wine during the season, whatever. But it is interesting. LeBron makes $65 million a year in shoes and apparel. He's worth $900 to $950 million. He has AD and Dennis Schroeder. He could have another all-star if he just said, what do I care? It doesn't matter to me. And again, I'm not here to tell people to take money or not, but it shows the commitment. Everybody says, I'm all in. But Russell Wilson is still in the stages, I'm going to make as much as I can. Same with Aaron, same with LeBron. I'm not criticizing, but it does give you a sign of what Brady is willing to do. 3 years ago, he made $1 million in salary the year he was MVP. Like that's what he does to manipulate his contract. And I just think if you look at Tampa, when I watched Tampa against Green Bay and I watched Tampa against Kansas City, my takeaway was, damn, they got a lot of good players. They don't have a weakness. Their weakness is youth. That's it. They don't have a single place on the field. You're like, they don't have a good enough player. So, and Brady taking less gives them, I mean, if you took Shaq Barrett off them and you take Antonio Brown off them, they're not the same football team. So, I mean, when you watch them in the Super Bowl, I'm sitting in a hospital bed and my takeaway is, it's an all-star team. It is an all-star team. Can you imagine if Green Bay now had Robbie Anderson and Davante Adams and J.J. Watt? Okay, that's... What wouldn't they have? They would be stacked everywhere because their offensive line's top five. I mean, just that simple. So, by the way, they're probably going to lose Aaron Jones this year. Excellent running back. Why? Because they can't afford him. I'm not telling Aaron to take a pay cut. I'm just saying when people say they're committed, Brady has taken it to a level of, I won't get paid much. He's the best quarterback ever. He's like the 22nd highest paid quarterback. That's total commitment. All right. Kevin O'Connor, great NBA guy around the corner. Boy, the Sixers are playing well. Tobias Harris was hurt, blew out the Mavs last night.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask?
Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Tired of cooking at home? Change it up without getting up. Order Jersey Mike's through their app. No contact delivery, no contact at the door. Pick up Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. Kevin O'Connor's been covering the league for The Ringer for a long time. He is excellent. We love bringing him on. NBA analyst for The Ringer. He is now joining us live. Okay, I love Zion. What's amazing about him, Kevin, is every month he gets better. So that's telling me they're probably at some point expanding his game. The coaching staff is. You've watched a lot of Zion. What are they doing? Because his numbers keep jumping. 5 more points, 6 more points. What are they doing to expand his game?
Last night against the Bucks, but what the Pelicans are doing this season is they're running more pick and roll with Zion Williamson as the ball handler. Early in the year, he averaged only 1 per game over his first 15 games or so. In the last month, this month of February, he's averaging over 10. I mean, they have really given him the ball with J.J. Redick as a screener or Lonzo Ball as a screener, and that has unleashed some of the perimeter skill that we've seen from Zion to kind of slingshot him towards the basket. He draws more fouls on isolation possessions than anybody in the league, according to Second Spectrum data. This is a guy who is just tapping into what he can become, Colin. This is only the beginning of Zion, the shot creator.
It's interesting. I think he and Luka, both 20-year-old kids, I think they're both top 15 players. I mean, Luka's obviously a top 15 player. Where do you put Zion right now? I think he's the best interior scorer right now, that even better than Giannis, because I think he's got the way he drives and creates contact, and he's a better free throw shooter, I think, than Giannis. Where do you put him in the league right now? Is he a top 15 player?
I mean, he's close. I think he's top 20 for sure. For Zion, the next step for him, he has it on offense. He's an elite scorer near the rim. He can create for others. Defensively, that's where we're seeing him get progressively better this year with New Orleans. They're a bad team on the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah.
Zion has gotten a little bit better with his rotations, with his focus, with his intensity on that end. And I'm sure we'll see that develop over time, and he'll be making more big-time plays like he did at Duke during his exciting freshman season there.
So Brad Stevens' hot seat, you see that on social media. And my takeaway is they were in the conference finals. My theory on this was basically that this year's been tough because they're a very tactical team, and with the condensed schedule, you don't get an extra day of film study. You don't get an extra day of tactical gamesmanship, and this is not a team that's as gifted as a Brooklyn, as gifted as a Laker. There's a way to play with Brad Stevens, and now these games are all scrunched together, and a lot of times you go into these games, Kevin, and you don't get as much game tape and study, and I don't think this year is right now built for them. That's my takeaway on Brad Stevens. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think with Brad Stevens, he's getting a lot of the blame here with what's going wrong with Boston. They're under 500, a team that was just at the Eastern Conference Finals, like you said, 3 of the last 4 years, you know, with Boston. It's easy to forget back with those Isaiah Thomas teams. But with Brad Stevens, you know, some of the struggles this year, he didn't choose for Kemba Walker's knee to not be the same, for him not to not be the same player. He didn't choose for some of these rotation guys, for Jeff Teague to be much worse than expected. He didn't choose for Tatum and Brown to have this much demand on their team, for them to have to also be the guys that are defending the best opponent on the defensive end of the floor. These young guys, Tatum and Brown, are being asked of too much at this time when they're not ready for it. Tatum's 22. Brown is 24. Two guys that are under 25 years old. I can't put the blame on them. I can't put it on Brad Stevens. It's just the unfortunate string of events that really led to this, starting with the Gordon Hayward injury years back with Kyrie leaving. Boston right now are not what we thought they would be. But this team is still in a good position long-term because of their youth. It's just about the GM, Danny Ainge, putting the right pieces around them over the next 2 to 3 years. That's where I would point the finger more than anybody else, is what is Ainge going to do to maximize this team for Stevens and for the young stars on there?
How surprised are you? I am very surprised. The Nets' chemistry, which I thought was a tinderbox, they're much better than I thought. I thought Kyrie Harden could be problematic. They're winning without KD. Are you surprised at all? When you talk to people around the league, are they a little surprised it's this fluid this quickly?
Not really. I think a lot of people expected this offense to click right away. Anytime you have three of the most creative scorers, most talented scorers we've ever seen in league history together that have a desire to play together, I don't think people were surprised by that. However, defensively, people around the league have remarked about, well, maybe this team has more tools than we thought. They're using Bruce Brown, a 6'4" guard, as a center on offense, but he's able to effectively, it's crazy to watch. So the Nets have all these different ways to play small, and they can still play big with DeAndre Jordan. I think their defense, when they're locked in, when they're really trying, as we've seen for a handful of games this year, they're going to be better in the playoffs than people are expecting just looking at the numbers right now, because they're near last in the NBA. But people around the league think they have more than what they're actually showing.
A couple nights ago, I turned on the Jazz-Lakers. I watched until, I think they had 14 first half threes. And they're deep, they're well coached, and now the Lakers are all banged up. But when you watch this, I made the argument yesterday. You can make an argument, the Lakers got a break last year. The only people in the country that got a break with the pandemic, an older player got 4 months rest, and a brittle player got 4 months rest, and they went so rested, LeBron and AD, through the playoffs. Now AD's hurt again. Well, he's missed 20% of his starts, Kevin, in his career. This is kind of what he is. Do you think privately the Lakers think to themselves, was last year an exception? We're not getting a four-month break anymore in the middle of a season.
I mean, I'll tell you, with AD, though, Colin, this is one of the more serious, scary injuries. Anytime you have the word Achilles involved, even though it's not a rupture or a tear or anything like that, the fact it's involved with Achilles is scary, which is why I think we're seeing the Lakers play it so conservative here. They know with him that there's no reason for them to try to push to get the one seed. Let Utah get that. Let Utah dominate the regular season, because for the Lakers, their sights are on the postseason, and getting AD healthy is a priority. So for the Lakers fans, that are worried maybe right now, with Schroeder out, with AD out, I wouldn't be too concerned right now if AD's injury gets pushed from a month to 5 weeks to 6 weeks. Then you get concerned. But right now, the Lakers were already coasting as is, and now they're hurt. So it's just about building towards the postseason.
NBA analyst, The Ringer, Kevin O'Connor's got a nice backdrop. Is that faux brick or real? It's very professional looking.
It is a fake brick hanging in front of a green screen that we use with Ringer stuff.
I get it. All right, Kevin, I appreciate you stopping by the show.
Have a great rest of your day.
You bet. So we've told you before, the big stories here on a Friday are officially Deshaun Watson has said, he met with David Culley. He's like, I'm not signing with you. And the Texans' reaction is, we're not going to take any calls and just leave a message. So Chris Sims said it earlier this hour. I don't believe Deshaun Watson's going to play for the Texans. I think he should sit out. I wouldn't want to be part of this circus. Listen, there's a piece of, I don't know if we have this tape, of Sage Rosenfels used to play for the Houston Texans. And Cal McNair was the son of the owner. And when you hear the story about Cal McNair, listen, not all these owners are the same. So this is Texans quarterback Sage Rosenfels talking about his first interaction with Cal McNair 14 years ago in a recent podcast with Mike Silver.
One time, my first year there, I was talking to David Carr about this. And David had just come from Cal's office, I think, to discuss something. I'm not sure what it was. And I was like, what's, and I hadn't really met Cal at this point. I'm like, what's Cal like? He's like, well, I walk into his office and he's sitting on the floor. There's no desk or anything.
No way.
And there's this huge TV on the wall and he's playing video games.
That's right now the owner of the Texans. It's different. I'm not here to make disparaging remarks, but there's a lot of players. I just saw Duke Johnson was just released by the Houston Texans. Twitter's very funny. And so listen, folks, just personalize this. If you were really good at your job and you had like 12 years to really make money, would you sign up to the law firm if you thought the partners were goofy? If the lead partner in the law firm passed away, gave it to his son, and you're a really good lawyer, on the open market in Houston, there'd be 10 law firms that wanted you. Would you want to sign? Well, he signed a contract. Yeah, he was given promises, and they haven't adhered to the promises. If you were a lawyer, you're a doctor, you know if you went on the free agent market as a heart specialist, every hospital would want you. And the chief of staff leaves, gives it to his son. It's not the same hospital. Quality of the nurses goes down. Quality of the environment. I back players on this stuff. Cremo Barber Grade Products, Amazon, CremoCompany.com. Soothing shave cream. Soothing for my rich, supple, Wolverine-like beard. Hour 3 next.